Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime. So today, Kathy and Logan, we wanted to go a little more in-depth with the imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
We both, I guess we all three relate to it on some level.
Oh, yeah. It's an ongoing.
I was actually thinking, Kathy, that in writing our books, in talking about ourselves as authors, that took some getting used to as well, right? As writers, people who write and publish books.
I still play it down and go, well, I just write business books.
Yeah.
You know, which people actually agree with because writing a novel is very different.
Yes, it is different. But just taking on that identity.
But there's another way to play it down.
Right. Writing a novel is real writing.
On some level, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little peek into our...
Yeah, exactly.
We're already feeling like imposters.
We may open
podcast.
Up a little more as we move on through this. But I think so many people feel this, and it's sort of an ongoing... I guess eventually it goes away, but it's sort of an ongoing, thing we just have to deal with.
It is, and it usually manifests, I think, at work by feeling intense fear. Mm-hmm. Intense anxiety, fear of judgment, fear that you're going to be called out. Suddenly people are going to come and say you don't know what you're doing on some level. I actually found an imposter syndrome test. I want to see where this is from. The Empress Has No Clothes.
That's the website?
Yeah, I think that was the name of the book, actually. Uh-huh. And some of the items I think are really good. One of them is, I feel my success has been due to some kind of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't imagine that something you did produced the success. You've just been lucky.
Well, there is a certain amount of that.
Yes. Yeah. Then the other one is, I'm afraid that others will discover how much knowledge or ability I really lack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another item is, when I've succeeded at something and received recognition for my accomplishments, I have doubts that I can keep repeating that success.
Right. Mm.
I think that's a great one.
It's true. You know, sometimes when I go into a new situation, I have a fear that they're going to ask me something I can't answer.
Uh-huh.
They go, oh, you're that woman that knows about this interpersonal dynamics. Well, let me tell you about my boss.
Right.
And I do have a moment where I think, oh, make it something I know. And no one has ever thrown something at me. I mean, I may have had to say, well, that's really complicated. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But in general, I have seen it.
Yes.
But I still have that moment of, oh, no, what?
Right. Here's a new situation. Can I repeat my success, my ability to successfully hear you and address the situation?
Am I going to be able to pull up the information that's going to wow them in that moment, you know, at a party?
Yeah. That's a good one. All right, here's another one. I often compare my ability to those around me and think they may be more intelligent than I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a very human thing.
I think so.
Yeah, one of my favorite sayings is compare and despair, because I think that it's very easy to compare yourself to someone and come up lacking for a number of reasons, at least for me, let's say. I don't want to assume everyone feels that way, but, you know, in terms of either credentials of one kind or another, or, I don't know, their status in the world.
There's always something.
There's always something,
right. You know, that somebody has. Like, they may have a better wardrobe, or they may have more money, or they may have, you know, there's always something.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
if you go down that road.
That's right. So the comparing game is, first of all, it's easy to do. And second of all, it will tend to build. If you have an imposter syndrome, it will tend to increase it. Here's another one. If I'm going to receive a promotion or recognition of some kind, I hesitate to tell others until it is an accomplished fact. That it's hard to believe, right, that you're actually going to have this good thing happen.
Yeah. What else you got there?
Here, hold on. I got another. All right. When people praise me for something I've accomplished, I'm afraid I won't be able to live up to their expectations of me in the future. I think that's a good one.
I get embarrassed when people do that. I was just like, don't do that. Just stop that. That's like a way of playing it down.
When they give you praise for something?
Yeah.
Right.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, even just the whole thing of receiving compliments, being able to receive a compliment. I mean, typically, and I think women, by the way, have much harder time kind of owning their success or owning even their attractiveness. You say to someone, that's a beautiful dress, the first thing most women will say is, I got it at Lowman's for, you know.
Well, that's me. I usually turn around and give you the price tag.
But many women do that. Or they say, is it a little tight? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you see, I hope you don't notice my hips or whatever it is. It's very hard to just take in the good news. And I think the other thing that comes with might be an indication of the imposter syndrome is that when you are promoted or a great thing happens, you have a very hard time celebrating it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, when somebody will say, you know, pay me a compliment, what am I supposed to say? You say thank you and move on. Like, where do you go from there? Like, what are you supposed to do after that? That's why it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do you fear that you're going to be seen as overly confident or cocky?
It's not that. It's more that for me, it's like, okay, so I did that, and I feel really good about it, and I'm uncomfortable with other people being in awe of it. Mm. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't know why.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
I don't like when people have that look on their face, which is like they're impressed. I really don't like that. I just want to smack them.
Stop that.
Like, get over it.
So you want to hurt the people who are impressed with you.
I don't want to smack them to hurt them. I just want them to stop. Just stop that.
Shock them a little bit so they change their facial expression.
Because everybody does something well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's...
Well, it's something that comes naturally for you, I suppose. So then.
No, I've worked very hard to get here.
Right, but maybe in that moment...
I just want to smack you if you noticed it.
I'm looking more for self-gratification than I am for other people.
Recognition by others.
Right, maybe that's it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess my version of the imposter syndrome is just an insecurity, and it comes from, you know, not trusting that what I'm doing is good enough or valuable enough. One of the things that they talk about in terms of treating the imposter syndrome is to focus on providing value rather than being perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you go, and this is something that I do all the time. Kathy, in the early years when we were working together, and I just thought, oh my God, she doesn't want to, she's not going to want to keep working with me. I would just focus on trying to be of service, you know, be like, okay, how can we help our client base? How can I do something that would be, you know, assist?
Right.
And that helped me.
I mean, we usually, when we walk into a new situation now together, and we really don't know what's going to be in front of us, we've certainly done our homework, and we're prepared, and we have years of experience, but we usually just say to each other, now, let's just have a good time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We walk in wanting to really enjoy the experience, and then that's contagious to people.
Right.
How was it when you first started, the two of you?
I think we were sweating a lot.
Tons of nervousness. And like,
I'm like, oh,
what
no.
What are we going to do?
You know, one of the first things we did together, we gave this lecture called the seven...
Obstacles to success.
Right. And we did it. We gave it to a room full of graphic designers. And when we were done, we were so proud of ourselves because we really came up with these seven obstacles, and they were really good. Uh-huh. And we depressed the entire audience.
Oh, no.
And they were just like, they had, you know, they weren't even sitting up straight in their chairs. They were so beat down from
it. You got to the third or fourth, and they're just like, oh. Well,
and we didn't, and then we walked out, and we go, we can't ever do that again. Like, we just can't ever deliver this again. We really love the material.
Right.
But boy, that was.
But we had, we.
Well, and we didn't have anything. We just gave them the obstacles. We didn't have anything you should do with them. So they were all sitting with these seven obstacles that they all had.
Go home and hang yourself now.
What were those obstacles? They were good. Oh, fear of success, fear of failure.
Yeah.
What else?
Undervaluing, thinking that everyone else can do what you can do, which is...
This all sounds like the imposter syndrome.
It had a lot. That probably was in there.
Right. So going back to addressing the imposter syndrome, which is a very good point as well, is that one of the things that they say is it's actually valuable to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That if you can express your fear to someone, like Kathy, you were talking the other day about clients will confess to you that they're terrified of getting some big promotion mm-hmm. because they don't really think they can do the job. Mm-hmm. And I think the voicing of that to you mm-hmm. and having you help break it apart for them, you know, in terms of what of these things have you done in the past and how would you imagine you'll handle the future mm-hmm. really takes a huge weight off of their shoulders,
right.
wouldn't you say?
Yes.
So talking about it has value,
mm-hmm.
and that's it's sort of bringing it out of the closet. And when I've confessed, I've actually confessed sometimes to my clients when they're trying to do something new about my fear of saying I was a psychotherapist for so many years, mm-hmm. You know, that as I mentioned last time, that someone will come up and wag their finger in my face and say, "No, you are not," you know. That fear was so present for me that when I share it with them, I think it helps
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it's then a common experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm not a college graduate. I dropped out of college. And that, I have a fear of that, somebody's going to judge me for that. Now, I dropped out of college not because I wasn't a good student. It's because I was bored to death. Because what I was interested in, they weren't teaching.
Yes.
So
right.
now the business that we're in, well, this was not even taught then. No one even... So I was just ahead of the game. But you can't really explain that to people.
Right.
But we actually did I had a phone call with somebody recently who asked me that question, and it's the one that gets me. She says, "What is your credentials?"
Yeah. What are your credentials?
And I'm, at this point, I don't like that question. I mean, I've never liked that question, but now I really don't like that question. And I said, my credentials are that I went into this industry before the industry existed. Uh-huh. I'm one of the founders, Catherine and I, really, were one of the few that got into this before anybody recognized it. So we have learned, we basically created this industry. And she said, "I know. And I'm so impressed. I just wanted to hear you say that."
And you were like, "Oh."
I was like, "Thank you. I have a friend. Like, because she could tell that we had been in it before the industry existed.
Right.
But that question would really be a problem for me.
Well, that's actually a really good thing to bring up as well, because one of the other things they say is to become familiar with your particular imposter, mm-hmm. right? So for you, it might involve formal education credentials, mm-hmm. right? Whenever someone brings that up, the part of you that's concerned comes up, right? For me, it could be, probably is, that I'm always worried. My whole thing is I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And so anyone who kind of hints at that I'm not good enough and I don't know what I'm doing, will trigger that fear in me. And like, really, I'm not. I don't know. I'm just pretending, you know. I've been fooling everyone all this time. And so to become familiar with your particular fear or negative
right,
belief,
to know what it
right?
is,
right? Maybe I'm stupid or I'm uninformed or I'm not. Someone was just telling me I don't come from a fancy background. You know, so for that individual, mm-hmm. anything that's about where do you come from, mm-hmm. what's your background, will trigger the imposter
right,
syndrome.
Right, that's mm-hmm. right. Right. It's the thing that you're most embarrassed about.
Yes. Right.
Is that what
your
it is?
Well, I think it's the thing you have your own insecurity about. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I do. One other thing they say is to exercise your sense of humor.
Well, that goes without saying.
Got that covered.
Well, what is their point there? Because I don't understand.
Try to keep a sense of perspective and to laugh as often as possible, especially at yourself. So maybe that's about then having a sense of humor about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea in general, to have a good sense of humor about yourself. I mean, you really can't take yourself that seriously, honestly. I mean, I always go back to the Dalai Lama. He's always laughing.
Most spiritual teachers have marvelous senses of humor.
Mm-hmm. Because the whole kind of human experience is a little silly.
It is pretty ridiculous.
And this whole, you know, profile of, you know, who you are and how people judge you, it's a little off.
Yeah.
It's a little silly. So to have a good sense of humor about yourself, I think, goes a long way. Maybe not to the person you're talking to, but to help yourself anyway.
Maybe you should verbally just say your imposter syndrome while you're talking to people. Right. I don't know
what I'm
doing.
Let's just get this out of the way.
I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Let's just get this out of the way.
Let's just get this out of the way.
Let's put it out
on
the
compliments.
Table.
And
I feel like a complete and utter fraud. Okay, now let's move forward.
I've heard people do things like that.
It's disarming, actually.
It is, and it's very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
It really shows how human they are. And, you know, this whole having this bravado thing that I'm, you know, the greatest and I'm the biggest and I don't fail and I don't ever lose,
yeah,
that's not really believable, I don't think.
Right.
Oh, high confidence. Someone who has a really... I mean, I have a lot of self-confidence. So do you.
Yeah.
But I don't always have a lot of self-confidence. I mean, I walk into situations where I don't know anyone and I feel insecure.
Yeah.
It passes, but, you know, you can't always be self-confident.
Well, and you're drawing a really interesting distinction between, I think, self-confidence and arrogance,
yeah,
or mm-hmm, grandiosity, right? Where you just assume everything you do and whatever you do is wonderful and everyone should be paying homage to you, basically.
I think really, truly self-confident people know they're human.
Yes.
And are humble about it.
Yeah.
They're just secure, but they're humble.
Well, that to me is the greatest power, is if you can be confident and humble and even at times vulnerable, mm-hmm, you know, show your humanity, mm-hmm, since we are earthlings here. Right. But another point actually made in a different article I was reading about the imposter syndrome, is that sometimes behind your feelings of unworthiness is a perfectionist, you know, who thinks that you really have to do everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. So it's you who thinks you're the imposter and you project it out on the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have that perfect thing, do I?
I think that's one of your greatest gifts, Kathy.
Yeah, I don't really believe that anything is perfect.
Yeah. I have had it. I mean, I wrestled with it for quite some time. I let go of it. But now I'm an old lady now.
I think that you have let go of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be perfect. I think that's really a problem.
Yeah.
Having to be perfect excuses one's
perception. Right?
Well, you can't achieve it.
Right, you can't achieve it, having such high expectations of yourself.
Right, when you are a perfectionist, well, the other thing is that's where the compare and despair gets really bad, mm-hmm, too, because if someone presents well and you think they did it perfectly, I should be able to do the same, then you got yourself in a locked place where you can't make any mistakes, you can't learn, you can't progress, you can't be messy, which, mm-hmm, really we have to, and Kathy always says, and I think is 100% correct, that you have to make mistakes to learn and get better.
Oh, yeah. That's how you grow. Mm-hmm.
So the imposter syndrome can make it difficult to give yourself permission to be a beginner, to be new in a position. Mm-hmm. What I would say is that first point about just talking about it, I think, is a really good first step. If you find that it's something that's going on for you right now, whether you've got a new job or you've just been promoted or you're going to make a big presentation and you're really terrified, it's good to confide in others and let them shore, mm-hmm, you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I tell many people who are afraid to give a speech or afraid to go on an interview or give a presentation, I always say, why don't you just start with that? Why don't you say, oh, I'm so happy to be here, but I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
And it disarms others. They go, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Like, yeah, they make it a little more comfortable for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most people don't do it. But I think it's a good way to do things.
Actually, I'm in graduate school, right? Mm-hmm. And we had this one teacher who was unbelievable. You had to give a talk for a PowerPoint that you'd memorize for exactly 12 minutes, not less than, not more than. Wow. And you had to have an extra slide at the end in case you ran out of material.
Right.
And I literally, and we do so much public speaking, right, Kathy? Mm-hmm. I came up, when I stood up to do that, to use your example, I said, you know, I'm very nervous today. Mm-hmm. And it helped me because I could barely say my name at the beginning of the
Oh, you
my
got
knees were quaking.
Really?
Yeah.
But you got an A.
I did.
Of course.
But that was, well, here I was just going to say that was lucky. How about that?
Wow.
There we go. So I don't think of myself as an academic. I don't think of myself as a smart academic person.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. True confessions.
Whoa, here we go. Look, Crazy Office, true confessions.
Is that a bad thing?
Maybe not. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe I can build, if I want to be an academic, I could keep working on it.
Right.
Right. And I have to receive the feedback, which is another thing about the imposter syndrome. They say to listen when someone gives you positive feedback, you have to practice internalizing it, like write it down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I could say, all right, if I got an A from this person who never, she said she can count the number of A's she's given on her nostrils, then I should say.
Oh my gosh. She's going to have to start using fingers now that she's met you.
Yeah, she's going to grow another nostril.
Oh, no. That's gross.
But if she said that, then I should take it as confirmation that I did good work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, anyway, that's one example.
This is definitely something that stems, though, at a very young age. I mean, you're bringing up your graduate school example.
Yeah.
I know in a previous My Crazy Office episode, you spoke about in the education system, giving an answer for something and having it being wrong and a teacher being, no, that's the wrong answer.
Right.
Right.
And how that can really affect us, or affect our confidence and make
Definitely.
Us you know, doubtful of ourselves. And
oh, yeah.
So
oh, very, very much. I'm dyslexic, so education was tough because mm-hmm. it took me longer to read. It took me longer to take tests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now they have, they compensate for that. But when I was growing up, they didn't know what it was.
Right.
And that definitely made me very insecure.
Yeah.
That it took me longer to learn than others. Mm-hmm. It took me longer.
Right.
I read late.
Right.
It was really hard. It was not a good confidence booster.
No.
To have that problem.
And what's interesting, actually, Kathy, is you are a perpetual student in life. I mean, you're always reading, always taking in new information, always mm-hmm. bringing it to me to, you know, to open my eyes further. So those things that we get negative feedback on obviously are not always accurate. They're
right.
not really telling us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Logan, that's a good point, that it's if you're trying to uncover your imposter syndrome, you may want to think about feedback you got earlier
Go
in
back.
Life that has left a negative imprint on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that becomes part of your life's work, is to mm-hmm. just counter those beliefs
right.
and that feedback with positive
why
action.
Why is it that people more so remember the negative?
That's a quirky thing about the brain.
The positive versus
because it hurts.
The compliments.
Our brains, unfortunately, absorb, and it's pathetic, but you know they absorb. You need 6 positive messages to have it stick.
Wow.
I think you need 1 or 2 negative
mm-hmm.
for it to stick.
Wow.
So, and I maybe Mother Nature does that so you don't eat the poisonous berries. You know, you don't
mm-hmm.
forget. You
right.
get one piece of information and you don't forget it.
Right.
But it makes. Self-worth and self-value and self-confidence particularly challenging. You have to work at it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thanks, brain.
Yeah. Thanks, Mother Nature, for that.
Exactly.
Poisonous berries, self-confidence.
We're not supposed to be self-confident.
Well, we're probably supposed to keep watching out, right? If you think
right.
about survival and Mother Nature and watching your environment and making sure you don't get eaten by something,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't get too cocky.
Right.
We're in New York, so those pigeons could come down at any moment.
There was a pigeon in our hall, by the way, yesterday.
Oh.
Did you see that?
Are you kidding?
I'm not
no.
kidding.
How did we get rid of it?
I don't know. It was there 1 minute and gone the next.
He was just visiting.
He figured out his way how to get out.
That's right. He did not have the imposter syndrome.
Right. He knew where the window was. Oh, boy. I'm glad I missed that. I wouldn't have liked that.
All right. So that's it on the imposter syndrome. Please send us your ideas, your questions, and your experiences to Ask K2. Tweet them. And send your stories and your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.